CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than three decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.
Hello and welcome to the City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Join me, Christian May, each week as I talk to insiders, industry chiefs and leading figures from business, finance, politics and the media.
Hello and welcome to the City View, the podcast from City AM. Today it's me, Andy Sylvester, with Christian taking a well-deserved break. Now, it's not every day you get a former racing driver on the podcast, not least a racing driver who also happens to run London's biggest minicab firm, but that's the score today. I'm joined today by Liam Griffin, the chief executive of Addison Lee. Now, the son of Ad Lee's founder, Liam, an economics grad, took the reins in 2004. Rapid growth followed, new computerized dispatches, and even the first ever taxi app. And eventually, the firm came to the attention of US private equity giant Carlyle. That was in 2013. 2 years later, Liam stepped away from executive roles into the vice chair role. He's now back in charge, rejoining the firm as CEO on the very first day of lockdown in March. Now, Liam, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
We'll come back to 2020 in due course, but rather than me talking about it, do you want to give us the potted history from Carlyle's acquisition through to your coming back on board into the big chair?
I certainly can. And yeah, it's definitely been a potted one, unfortunately. It was an interesting period, really. You know, obviously Uber came along on the scene, which was everybody's worst nightmare. But that said, actually, Addison Lee, sort of the brand, withstood that initial wave, and I think actually has proven sort of the test of time. But you know, as with many other businesses, we had private equity ownership, which brings with it all sorts of difficulties and issues, and debt sort of tends to be one of those. And we sort of ended up digging ourselves into a hole where the management had piled on lots of costs. Private equity had put in lots of debt, and those two never particularly get on that well. So we ended up in a position where effectively we were running out of cash at a rate of knots, and they put up the flag, and I answered the call. So I've come along with some new investors, have managed to come on at someone questioned some a very, very poorly timed transaction. We took over literally on 23rd of March, the day that everybody else left London. We came in. But that's created opportunity. That's made us realise what needs to be done. And it's meant that we've had to do things very quickly. So it hasn't been all bad.
Yeah, they talked to me about that experience. Obviously, every business in Britain had to change up and sort of move towards a new normal. Obviously, going into lockdown when you're a company that relies on people moving around, was there when you woke up that morning and you're drinking your coffee, did you think, oh God, what have I done?
Yep, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said anything else. But this business is a family business, as you said. My father started this, so there's an emotional attachment to it that means that if I didn't come back and help try to sort of save the day, then I question who would. So there's a little bit of love in this action as much as an economic scenario. So we walked in the door, and we have had to make cuts. We've ended up removing a large chunk of. We had some PAYE drivers. We've had to streamline every other area of the business. We were going to do those anyway, but we've obviously had to do those deeper and harder and faster than we initially thought we would. And the business has traded through, but we have been badly hit, and we were sort of bouncing around at the sort of 50% down mark. These lockdowns do us absolutely no favors, and that's made things a little bit more painful again. But it's about getting control of those costs, looking at where you are with the cash. We've been managing our cash very, very closely, something that was lacking previously. And I think we've got ourselves into a reasonable position where we're optimistic that we're in a steady state now that will see us through this. But we'd obviously love lockdown to end and for people to come back to London.
Yeah, you're not the only one on that front. I mean, you could have kind of shut up shop on March the 23rd, right, and just said, right, well, we're not operating at all. But you tried to keep going and you tried to sort of do your bit to keep the London economy going, I guess. When I was cycling around town and running around town during the first lockdown and as London slowly opened up, some of the few, you know, a few motors on the road that you did see had your telltale Adley logo on the back.
We did. And, you know, we have a responsibility to our drivers. You know, they are a large workforce. You know, at their peak, we would have 4,000 people out there depending on us for their livelihoods. So we certainly owed it to them to try and find work wherever we could. And that involved trying to do things with the NHS. And we did donate a ride to try and encourage people to help pay to get NHS staffed in and out of London. You know, we have tried to scrape around and find as much work as possible to try and keep these guys making a living. You know, I think we've done a reasonable job of that. And we've kept people out there working and providing an income for their family. So, you know, I think I'm very proud of what Adley have done in maintaining a life and an income for all of our fleet and all of our drivers.
Absolutely. And we'll come back to kind of the conditions that you're operating in now in terms of the capital itself. But obviously this week we've finally seen news of a potential vaccine. It seems to be a sort of good news week for the first time in a very, very long time. That must have given you a bit of a welcome boost as you went into this week. And obviously 3 weeks of sort of official lockdown, although as I walk around the city, feels a bit more of an unofficial lockdown.
It is. I mean, I've been in the office every day since March, pretty much. And certainly this week is nothing like the original lockdown, that's for sure. So, as you say, you know, there's been a few green shoots that are coming our way this week. Without getting ahead of ourselves, I just think, you know, we needed that as a nation, and businesses need that. We need something to be able to focus on to say, actually, we can justify expenditure. You want ideas that are sitting there ready to go, which you're sort of reluctant to initiate or invest in because you're thinking, well, look, I could do this and nothing could happen for 6 months, and it's, you know, it's wasted money, and I need to protect the cash for the next year. So the fact that we can actually see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, you know, it just lifts the mood, gets you thinking a bit more positively, and you know, I think therefore everyone starts to think, okay, let's gear up for Christmas and perhaps people coming back in the new year in a much more sort of normal way.
Yeah, and fingers crossed. But you've, if I'm not wrong, you've launched a sort of, you've pivoted, like many businesses, launched a sort of click and collect affair.
We have, and it's, you know, not everybody realises, but Addison Lee is actually the largest same-day courier in London. I mean, I think in the country, you know, we have a fleet of over 600 couriers available out there doing hourly deliveries. And it was kind of a sort of an untapped and uncharted sort of service, really. So we pivoted that into much more focus on people's circumstances of being stuck at home. And we've provided this semi-concierge program, which we've called Request. So people think couriers just pick up envelopes and boxes. We're trying to make people realize that actually we can go and get your shopping. We can go and pick up your dry cleaning, and if you can't leave the house, then ask us to do it for you. So it's, you know, it's reconfiguring an existing service that just makes it a little bit more current for people's current circumstances.
Yeah, and when you talk about that kind of fuller service approach, you mentioned Uber earlier, and you know, in the sort of idealistic days of early Uber, before all the things came out about the CEO and the working culture and obviously regulatory issues, that's what they were talking about as well, and things obviously changed since then. Where do you kind of see the minicab market, I suppose, private hire market, taxi market, however you want to call it, in London right now, both sort of pre-March and I guess post-COVID?
It's been, you'd argue, it's a very saturated market at the moment. There's been so many new entrants into this particular ride hailing world, and they can't all survive. They can't all make it pay. And you know, our job has been to differentiate what is special about Addison Lee. We've not gone down the mass market route. We've always considered ourselves to be a premium brand and offering a premium service. We're much more price competitive than people would think, and we've had to do that to adapt, but there is a premium. But for that, we've got the standardized cars. We've got the best trained drivers in London. We can pre-book, and you get a consistency of service that none of the others can offer. So you know, it's a very competitive place at the moment, but I think that the brand has stood the test of time. And you know, prior to this lockdown, you know, we were actually trading very well. With costs aside, the revenue had remained pretty strong. So, you know, I think that there's people have a choice in the market, and I think the younger, more cost sensitive people are happy to use Uber and, you know, and take their chances. You know, TfL have granted them a license. They committed a crime. They had 14,000 unlicensed, uninsured jobs take place. And but apparently it's okay if you beg forgiveness afterwards and then you just get let off. So, you know, I'm not sure there's many other crimes that take place where you can just apologize for them and be let off. But that was the case with Uber. So those people that look at that and think, well, actually, we would rather travel with a more reputable business. So I wouldn't want to put my kids in a car where I wasn't entirely confident that the driver was who he said he should be. You know, that's the customer base that we're looking for. That's, you know, we do want to have people that are prepared to pay a little bit more to have that peace of mind.
For sure. And you talk about, you know, obviously TfL and the mayor decisions, but that's not the only kind of transport decision that's come out of City Hall, especially in the pandemic. We all know that TfL has been under, you know, extraordinary pressure, and City Hall been under extraordinary financial pressure. Is basically overnight, you know, London got switched off in March. There's all sorts of noises about congestion charges. Anybody that drives around London, even cycles around London, has noticed that some of the roads that you used to be able to drive down as a wee cut through are now very much shut off. Do you think, when you look at City Hall, that, you know, the mayor and people around him are on the side of people like you, of your drivers, and of Londoners that are trying to get around the city?
Absolutely not. And you know, the congestion charge has become a tax on not only business but the drivers. And this is the working man that is out on the street trying to make a living, who is now having to pay £15 a day every time he tries to do that. On top of that, you know, the traffic has got worse. And I never quite know whether the congestion charge is designed to reduce congestion or designed to reduce pollution, or it's just a pure tax. And you've put in all of this streetscape and narrowing of roads in trying to reduce or increase the capacity of pavements has only led to the increase in congestion. And considering there are less cars in London, the congestion has actually gone up as a result of all of these City Hall measures. And that has increased congestion. So, you know, so I'm not quite sure what the policy is. And I don't think that Sadiq Khan is particularly clear in trying to convey what the purpose of the congestion charging zone is at the moment. So, you know, he is punishing people out there trying to make a living. He's stopping people coming into London to spend money to go to work at a time when people do not want to get onto public transport. He's making life more difficult to encourage people back into London. People won't come into the office because of the costs now, and they won't come into London because of public transport. And that had the repercussions of following on, that the people don't go and buy a coffee, don't go and buy a sandwich. And he's slowing the recovery of London. And whilst we're in lockdown now, this, you know, this was the case beforehand, and this will be the case post. And whilst it was introduced as a temporary measure, you know, I think we all are very sceptical that this will be removed anytime soon.
Well, income tax was a temporary measure for wars against the French, and as all of us know, that's stuck around. I mean, we should say that the mayor will say that the congestion charge increase was placed upon him by Whitehall demands as part of the TfL bailout. You've got central government saying that City Hall needs to do more to raise revenue from TfL, that the mayor spent, you know, X amount of cash on PR officers rather than on whatever central government might like to have seen them spend that cash on. Are you frustrated as a business owner, someone who's, you know, obviously invested in London moving and London being a thriving global city? Do you want those people to start talking to each other in a constructive fashion to put sort of pragmatism ahead of politics?
Absolutely. You know, for a start, I think it's well documented that it wasn't conditional that he had to increase the congestion charge. All he had to do was reinstate it. He didn't actually have to put it up. That was purely Sadiq Khan's decision. So, you know, that is a frustration that he's taxing us rather than, he didn't put the fares up on the tube because no one's on the tube. But really, that's what he should have been doing. He should have been taking, if he wants to recoup some of his costs, then he should be sharing that around for all modes of transport, not just burdening private hire with it. So that is very frustrating. And I think the view is that more should be done at the moment to look at how we bring businesses back into London. And I think the politics of that is something that has been lacking, that I think when we have looked to bring people back into the office as we did pre this lockdown, there was very little guidance as to how we should do that. And we had to effectively make up our own rules of introducing Team A, Team B, Team X, and set them up in a way that one group was in one week, one group was in the next, and sat in various places within the office and social distancing. But we never had any government guidelines as to what was best practice. And I think we should be looking, or they should be looking, at giving some guidance as to how that should be done in a constructive way, to give the businesses and more importantly, the employee, the confidence that the businesses are doing the right thing, to bring them back into the office in a safe way. And I think that to get Londoners back into town, I think the government should lead on a policy of what is the right way and wrong way of doing it, so that everybody has confidence that they're doing, coming back in a safe and constructive way.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely bang on there, because so many employers that we spoke to in the kind of August, September, October period were saying that they were really keen on seeing their staff again, because nobody likes Zoom calls all the time, right? You want to have that kind of social interaction. You want to have that creative process that comes with having people together in the office in one place. But they felt a bit unsure about what guidance they could offer and what could come to them down the line if somebody was uncomfortable about coming back in. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. But I want to come on just before we finish. We talked about the congestion charge, and one of the reasons that is obviously always cited for that existing, one of the reasons that's cited for the fact that most seemingly plenty of residential streets in London are now shut off, is about greening the air. But you and also other firms across the capital have started to kind of realise that you've got a massive, I say started, you've been doing it for a long time, but you're realising that you've got a massive part to play in that. So you are investing a decent chunk of cash in trying to become a fully electric fleet, right?
Yeah, we would love to. We've trialled it with various electric vehicles at the moment. And the way that congestion charge is set up, that after October 21 of next year, there's no dispensation for hybrid cars. And so the step we as a business want to take is we would love to make our next purchases all electric. The problem we face is the London infrastructure is currently not designed and doesn't have the capacity for us to realistically do that. There's currently less than 300 fast chargers in London, 70 of which are dedicated to black taxis, I might add, who do not pay the congestion charge. And so on top of that, we've calculated that you need one charger per 10 cars that want to, certainly 10 private hire cars that would like to use that. So, so we're well short of being able to roll it out. So more needs to be done. It's all very well saying that they want us to go electric, but unless you put the infrastructure in place, then it's just not a viable alternative. So, we would love to do that, but at the moment it's very difficult to commit to it when you know that the drivers aren't going to be able to charge their cars.
And you're still being taxed a little bit more than you would be otherwise. It sounds like you're not getting wild amounts of help from sort of central government and local government, but you're still sticking around. You still did ride to the rescue, as you say, in March. Even with that lockdown, you must be optimistic that London is going to get back on its feet.
Oh, look, London is an amazing place, and it's great to be part of that. And I think that's Addison Lee has prided itself on being sort of one of the fourth emergency service. I know somebody else claims that, but in London, we do play a part in the whole the transport infrastructure. And I think it's a very resilient place. There's been many things that have come and tested Londoners over the years, and we've always bounced back. And this is another one of those things. And I think it will happen. I think it will happen a lot quicker than people anticipate. And that will need government to lead the way, and it will need big corporations to, as you say, to sort of not be in fear of the consequence of encouraging people back. And we need to do that, because unless businesses are encouraged to get back into the office, we won't get the economy thriving, and it will take a lot longer. So I think the onus is on everybody in all sort of areas of politics and business to come up with a plan to find a way that encourages people back into the office and back into work. And as you say, I think people, as much as, you know, working from home, I'm sure, you know, is some people argue is productive. You know, I would argue that it's generally sort of over a 5-day period. I think people will prefer to be in the office, are probably more productive as a consequence of being surrounded by other people to feed off and bounce ideas off and just be inspired by. So, you know, I think the quicker we can get people back into their usual patterns, the quicker the economy and the quicker London can recover.
Yeah, and London's recovery is something we can all celebrate when it comes. Liam, absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem.
And that's all from me here at the City View. Do tune in next week where Christian May will be back in his rightful chair. For now, have a good week and a week that for once we can celebrate some good news.
Thanks for listening to The City View, the podcast from City AM in partnership with CMC Markets. Do join me again next week.
CMC Markets is one of the world's leading CFD and spread betting providers with more than 3 decades of experience. Trade with CMC and you're trading with experts. 79% of retail investor accounts lose money.